All right, so I can think of no better way to describe our moms than the word custom fit, right? When you think about custom fit, what do you think about? I heard this week on an advertisement of custom fit golf clubs. Anybody have some of those? That sounds pretty good, right? Custom fit suits, custom fit windows, custom fit cars, anything? Custom fit glasses? There we go. Yes, Devi's sporting a pair of those this morning. So, but our moms, no better model than our moms. And, you know, have you ever thought, how did you know that? When we think about moms, you know, kind of come across a picture of that. There's just the expression of, how did you know that? Yeah, right? Mom, how did you get that? And so I grew up and I had three older brothers. And sometimes they would do things that I tried to learn from, right? I never did any of those things because I was the youngest, right? But I remember many a time where some of us would come in a little bit later than we should have, right? And we'd come in and we'd make sure there was no noise and we'd slip into bed and we'd think we had it all covered until the next morning when Mom was sitting at the kitchen table with her cup of coffee and saying, "What time did you get in?" And of course, she knew exactly what time. So moms, thanks for being custom fit for us. But at Thanksgiving, we acknowledge that all of us are not moms. And so the way that we talk about that is that all of us have moms in some way or had moms in some way, shape, or form. So we give God thanks for the influence that you have and will have on our lives. And so we're going to continue a series we started 2 weeks ago called Custom Fit. And today we're going to look more deeply into the role of mothering in our lives and how that can impact how we learn whether we're custom fit, how we're custom fit, okay? So I'm going to dig right into the scriptures this morning. Psalm 139, verse 1, King David writes these words. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Now, I underlined a couple. If you want to go back to the next slide, Jonathan, that would be awesome for a moment. I underlined the word "no" because it's a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is yada, right? So if you're a Seinfeld fan, it's not yada, yada, yada. That's not what we're talking about, okay? It's yada, and the word actually means a deeper kind of knowing, not a knowing like, "I know algebra," or "I know the way home," or "I know the way to the restaurant we're going to meet for Mother's Day," or anything like that. It's more this deeper kind of knowing in a relationship that God has established between us. It's the kind of knowing that says there doesn't need to be any secrets, no running in late at night, no covering our tracks, yet God yearns for more of it with us, even though he knows everything about us. Verse 13 and 14 say it this way, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, as we hold on to that verse for just a moment, you know, the unique role of men mothering extends far beyond them just being incubators to bear their children. The reality is that it's the place where God's art studio was on full display and God's greatest handiwork was being formed. And so this weekend we're going to look at some insights from mothering that can apply to all of us who have influence in other people's life. The first thing is this, that we're graced with our identity. Okay, we're graced with our identity. We're given the gift of our identity. How many of you know how you were named? Does anybody know the story of how you were named? Oftentimes we ask that as children, right? But we know that identity goes far beyond just our name, goes far beyond our names. So think about identity as in genetics, right? Genetics are interesting to study. We focus on the physical sometimes when we think about heredity. She sure looks like her mom. He has his dad's mannerisms, the way he walks, the way she cocks her head. So these might be called family traits. They may be physical or they may be a personality. And so just for a minute, grab some people in your discussion, but are there any strong traits or personalities that others recognize about you and your family that they've kind of recognized? Maybe you're just meeting for the first time today. So just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. And any physical traits, family traits, personalities that you say, well, that runs strong in our family. Okay, let's do that this morning. It's okay to talk to each other. So turn around. Go ahead, turn around. Yeah, so as you kind of wind up those conversations, maybe you discovered something about somebody you've been sitting with your whole life, and you discover that you're not as weird as you thought because the person next to you is even weirder, right? Okay, that's a good thing sometimes to compare in that. But I have a brother that when we talk on the phone with some of our other family members, they're not quite sure if it's me or my other brother because our voices sound very similar. But moms, you are that first impressions team. And welcoming us to a new world. You're our first teacher, our first doctor, our first etiquette specialist, first barber or beautician, whatever it might be. And I know the list could go on and on. But it's interesting to think this morning, there was another dynamic at play far before you met your mom and dad. It says from the very earliest of creation, before creation even began, Ephesians 1:4 says this, that God chose us as his sons and daughters in him before the creation of the world. Before we were a twinkle in our heavenly Father's eye, he called us to be holy and to be blameless. Now, a couple weeks ago, we tackled these two words, and when we first heard those words, we're like, we're called to be holy and blameless? You mean I have to be perfect in every way? But what we discovered about holy and blameless, it means holy means to be set apart. And blameless means to walk in the ways of God. And moms and dads, let me just, if you don't hear anything else, those of us who have influence over anyone else, there is no more important role, no more important charge for each one of us to remind that those we have influence over, that they are holy, they are set apart by God, and they are blameless, that they're called to walk in the ways of God. I don't care what other skill set you teach your kid over life, if you teach him or her this truth, life will be fundamentally different. Everything rises and falls on knowing this truth. And I don't know who's told you differently. And yeah, I'm maybe pointing a finger this morning. I don't know who told you differently, but it's simply not true. That God has made you special, he set you apart, and he wants you to walk in his ways. Okay? Who better than parents to remind us of those powerful truths? But it doesn't always work that way, does it? I've got some good news. If your parents didn't do it, or you feel like maybe you've been a failure in that with your own kids, God is the God of second chances. God gives us always from today and into the future to live into his promises for us and for those around us. And that's why we gather as the church, because there's no perfect parents, there's no perfect kids, no one here is perfect. We all wish we could do things a little differently as we look back on our lives. But this is a high calling that we want to charge ourselves into this morning. Romans 12 said it, and you heard it read just a few moments ago. Don't be conformed by the pattern of this world. Don't just follow along with everybody else, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we come to worship, because we need a renewal of our mind. We get beat up during the week. We feel shame. We feel guilt. We feel like we wish we'd have done things differently. But our minds can be renewed, and then we will know what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. Now, if I asked for a show of hands, I bet every person in here would say, I want to know God's will, right? Just make it plain, God. As I often say, I've heard God speak a lot of times in my life, and his voice sure sounds a lot like my mom's. For you, it might have been a father or a coach, a teacher, an uncle, or maybe it's in the community of God's people called the church. But when we begin to understand that we're custom fit by God for his grander purposes. Life takes on a whole new intensity, a whole new meaning, a whole new sense of adventure. I came across this website this past week. It's pretty cool, actually. If you can go to the next slide, thank you. You're not one in a million, right? You're one in 7.7 billion. Okay, there is no one on this planet like you. And this website is very cool because it updates things constantly. It's a dynamic website, so people are dying, people are being born. And it's so powerful to think about that God has uniquely wired you up with a personality, a physical body, a temperament, and it's all a gift. And even through our perceived limitations, our perceived handicaps, our perceived weaknesses, God's power can be at work in an amazing way. To quote the famous theologian and philosopher Barney the Dinosaur, you are special, you're the only one. You're the only one like you. There isn't another in the whole wide world who can do the things that you do, okay? You'll remember Barney, won't you? All right. So we're gifted. We're gifted with an identity. We're gifted with talents. We're gifted with grace. But it takes time to develop these things. So often we want to just be told, especially we have a tendency with our own kids sometimes, well, you're very gifted at this sport. And then they go out and they shoot and they go, well, I don't make them all today. And say, well, guess what? You got to work at it. You got to work at it. It takes time to develop our gifts. We need a family. We need a community. We need people in our lives that can create a safe place for us to live into the destiny that God has for us. Picture of Michael Phelps. You know, almost every Olympics, there's this few-minute story on Michael Phelps' body, right? If you remember it, he's got this extremely long torso, and he's got short legs, he's got this wingspan, he's got this exceptional lung capacity. They go into great detail, like he was born to swim. But if Michael Phelps didn't have people in his life, if he didn't have places to exercise his gift, all of that potential would be unrealized. He might be known just as the greatest couch potato of all time, if someone else might have invested in him. So we need a place to gather for our own security. I like the way Pastor Joe said it so well. He said, we need a place where we're authentically affirmed. And if those of you were here that week, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. But it's powerful is that oftentimes we affirm things about people because of what they do, right? Especially what they do for us. Hey, I wouldn't really want to encourage you because you helped me out here. But authentic affirmation means we begin to encourage people for the way that God created them. And I'm just going to tell you that this community is not going to be one of those churches that says, hey, we want to welcome you in, but we really want your money. We really want your time. What we want to do is help you to be holy and blameless, to know that you're set apart and you're called to walk in the ways and the purposes of God. And then life gets really exciting when a whole group of people is pursuing God in that fashion. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, how often I long to gather you, a safe place, my children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. I came across this kind of fun video that just shows that in action. John, if you can throw that up there for us, that'd be great. Yeah, so there's some little chicks out there, and just watch what happens to these chicks. There must be something dangerous in the midst, but you'll see them all of a sudden, they'll start to go under, their mother's wings, and they find shelter under there. And it's a beautiful instinct that these chicks have, isn't it? And we know that we're gifted and we're graced with our identity. And in a perfect world, our talents would be deployed and be used. But we don't live in a perfect world, do we? I don't have to tell you that. Brokenness can even start in the womb. And it continues all the days of our life. And there are all sorts of things, from petty distractions to full-blown tragedies in our life, that can impact the formation of who we're to become. Moms and dads and anyone who has influence over others. We are charged with creating a safe place for those we have influence over so they can know that they're holy and that they're set apart for God's purposes. You know, we often hear this as a bonding process between parents and their babies. It makes parents want to shower their baby with love and affection. You don't have to train to do that, to protect our little ones. It's the reason typically moms do it rather naturally. Dads sometimes need this, right, in the middle of the night when a baby needs to be fed or a diaper needs to be changed. It's a very unique bond that's not found elsewhere. Rarely do moms do this for their crying husbands when they want a drink in the middle of the night. That is a different kind of bond. But scientists are still learning a lot about this bonding process and how, at those very earliest days, how important it is for that child to learn intimacy and security from their parents, that bonding process. And when children are in a situation where they do not receive this normal kind of love, they can develop what's called an attachment disorder. And part of being custom fit is acknowledging that we need a place for ourselves, but we need to offer it to others as well. There's a reason that you're here this morning. There's a reason you're part of this Thanksgiving family. Part of it is because you need to receive and sense security and a place to live out your gifts, but you're also called to provide a place for others to do it as well. We need this at every age and every stage, whether you're a newborn or you're in your 80s and your 90s. Each of us is uniquely made. And as I said, we don't live in a perfect world. There are bumps, sometimes major bumps that come along the way that threaten our very future and our destinies. I've shared this with you many times over the last 20 years, but I was born with something called congenital aortic stenosis. It's a very kind of a fancy way to say my valves were misshaped in my heart when I was born. And so at the age of 27, I had to go open a heart surgery, and it was only 5 months after I'd been here. But I was pretty tender right at that moment. And so I was single at the time, didn't have children, lived in an apartment here in Bellevue. And my mom moved in with me for a couple of months. You remember, some of you called her the general or the commandant. Yeah, because she took care of me, right? She made meals. She helped me get up the stairs. She anticipated my needs. She was a place of security for me. We all need a place of security for our gifts. That is the church in a nutshell. Because guess what? There are no perfect parents and there are no perfect kids. But when we come together and we create a safe place for one another to live fully into God's purposes and plans for our life, life gets very exciting. Let me just say again, each of us has a part to play in this, okay? Now, lastly, what I want to touch on this is, why were we given these gifts anyway? Why were we custom fit? And the ultimate answer is this: we were given gifts for God's glory, okay? While personal gratification can feel good, that's not the ultimate reason you've been given the gifts that we just heard about in the reading, or the gifts that you're aware of in your own life. Very countercultural message, right? That life's not about us. Life is actually about God. And then we actually find ourselves when life becomes about God. And we actually lose ourselves when life becomes about us. Jesus was emphatic about this. If I could paraphrase a little bit of what Jesus said, God did not give us gifts solely to be our Santa Claus. Jesus didn't say that, but parenthetically, I think he did. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." I want to stop right there for a second. Did you know that you're one of those five? You may not know it. You say, "Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an apostle." Actually, there's this incredible inventory. We're going to give it to you next week. It's called the Fivefold Ministry Inventory. And you're going to find out that you actually operate in one of those five, okay? And why? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I love this next part. Until we, what's the word? all. Wow. So I'm responsible for you, and I'm responsible for you, and you're responsible for me, that we raise each other up in the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Things get very exciting around here when we don't come to just spectate, but we anticipate that God's going to work in our hearts, and then we participate in all that he has for us. Okay? You know, I was on my sabbatical, I come to church because I come for the message. It's good, good. We need to be fed. But there's another aspect of that too, that we get fed for a purpose. Isaiah 40 talks about folks who live like this. They hope in the Lord. They renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So I want to close with a story about eagles. And last summer, I was up in Wisconsin on one of my cousin's cabin on a beautiful lake in northern Wisconsin with the pine trees and the rock cliffs. But one of the things I didn't anticipate was a lot of eagles' nests. And I would just go out in a boat in the middle of the lake, and that's not my photography, actually. It's something I pulled off the internet, okay? So let's just be honest. Let's be real, all right? But there was all these eagles' nests, and I would just row the boat out there, and I'd just watch them. And it made me very curious about how they interact with their young. And as I began to study, I found out that eaglets, when they're first born, they just sit there, and they're like, feed me, feed me, feed me, right? And the mother just continues to feed them every day. And feed them and feed them. And then a day comes where the mother eaglet sort of puts her head into their chest and starts to push them a little bit towards the edge. And I wonder if the eaglets aren't going, hey, what are you doing? I kind of like this more than this. And one day the mother eaglet actually pushes their little eaglets out of the nest. And the first time that happens, the little eaglets can begin to flail and they start to cascade down the mountainside. And then oftentimes that mother eagle will swoop down and can catch them on her wing and raise them up and put them back in the nest. And this happens over and over and over again. Now, scientists tell us that if you separate the eaglet from its mother at a very early age, eaglets will walk around when they get out of their nest and they'll go, what are those appendages on my back? And they'll grovel around in the dirt like a chicken for the rest of their life. The importance of the mother investing in that eaglet. God is out to mature us. We were meant to soar. You and I were made for something more. And God always has something more. We are custom fit, and God has given us these incredible talents and gifts that he wants to push us out of our nest and to stir up our lives so that we begin to use them and feel the thrill of flying and soaring in God's kingdom. As I said, next week, we're going to have an opportunity to take some inventories. We're going to have an opportunity to discover, if you don't know right now, I don't know if I'm gifted. I don't know what I can do for God's glory. We're going to help you. And all summer long, we're making the offer to you today. We will meet with every one of you over the summer to discuss what comes back in that inventory, because we feel that passionate about it, that the church is not the pastor, it's not the building, it's not the staff, it's the saints of God using their gifts and talents to bless the world around us. All right, so we pray at the beginning. We're going to pray at the end, but we're going to do it just a little bit different again today. So stand up, if you would. All right. And this is appropriate touching. What I would like you to do is put your hand on the shoulder of someone near you, okay? So everybody needs to have a hand on a shoulder somewhere. So go across the aisle if you need to. You got two of them, so you can lend one to somebody else. All right, everybody needs to have a hand on a shoulder. And we're going to pray what's called a custom-fit prayer over each one of us. It's from Ephesians chapter 3. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray it out loud. You guys pray it in your hearts. I pray that out of my glorious riches, I may strengthen you with power through my spirit in your inner being, so that my Son may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you would be rooted and established in my love, and you would know the power, together with all the Lord's people, the called out ones, to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is my love, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.